one of the overarching recommendations that our commission makes is to try and support more local law enforcement. And that means putting more law enforcement responsibility in the hands of tribes themselves. Right now, the federal government, and in some cases states, have the primary role of administering justice for Native America. And we found that in other non-Native settings, usually it's states and localities play that primary role. And so we really want to encourage more local administration of justice by tribes. Currently, Indian reservations don't have jurisdiction over non-Natives who commit crimes on their reservations. And so one recommendation that we make is tribes should have that authority to prosecute non-Natives that commit crimes on their reservations. And we also recommend the creation of a federal court of appeals for Indian cases, an Indian circuit court, to have review over constitutional issues and other federal Indian law claims arising out of those matters.
What does that look like on Wind River Reservation? What's the law enforcement scheme there?
So we realize that this recommendation should be at the complete option of a tribe. If a tribe wants to opt out of the current federal system, they should be allowed to do so either fully or partially. There are two important pieces of legislation that have come out in Washington, D.C. in the last several years. The first was the Tribal Law and Order Act itself, which provided tribes with the ability to increase their sentencing provisions. The second is the VAWA Reauthorization, Violence Against Women Act, which will allow certain tribes and later all tribes to exercise jurisdiction over non-Indians committing certain defined crimes against women. Whether or not a tribe elects to opt out of these schemes to exercise more jurisdiction has yet to be seen at Wind River.
You mentioned VAWA, for example, but on Wind River, the tribes don't even currently have authority to issue like speeding tickets or traffic tickets to non-Natives that are found like speeding on the reservation, right? That's significantly smaller of a crime than anything that would be prosecuted under VAWA by tribes. So do you expect pushback from the state, from the feds?
We found a handful of places where tribal police have that recognition as a state post-certified officer. Listening to people out in the field, we have found that that's a very successful scenario. And Wyoming, I know, has looked at that issue. And moving forward, I think having those discussions about recognizing the law enforcement at Wind River as a state-certified peace officer, it's worth continuing that discussion. Commissioner Goldberg and I traveled to Wind River and conducted a series of listening sessions. And I think one of the most disturbing things I heard was people speeding through the reservation, going through school districts at a speed of 80 miles per hour, getting pulled over and not having any kind of consequence whatsoever other than being told to slow down.
Right.
We shouldn't wait for an Indian child or any child going to school at Wind River to be struck by a car and possibly killed because we're not willing to have that conversation of how a BIA officer could also be recognized as a state-certified post officer.
Wind River was one of the reservations that was part of the high priority performance goal, which basically increased the number of law enforcement in the community. That was an expensive program. Could you talk about if the results were worthy of replicating in other places and if it's feasible considering the necessary resources?
As you know, there were four reservations targeted for this program. Not surprisingly, we found that what works is boots on the ground. When you increase the number of law enforcement, you definitely see an impact and crime go down. Unfortunately, we also heard about some other areas where that program could have worked better, particularly on the back end of what happens after you arrest a person. Is the court system able to take that increased number of arrested people and see and try their cases? What kind of services are available depending on what kind of crimes were occurring? Detention space, is it adequate? So the HPPG program was wonderful in certainly increasing the number of arrests made on reservations, including Wind River. But I think we need to think of looking at how we can make that program work better with these other back-end services. And although this was a very important program for Wind River, we also heard of places where federal law enforcement was taken away from certain reservations to be placed at Wind River.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our concern is how do you replicate something like HPPG for 564 federally recognized tribes?
The report also says that Indian country juvenile justice exposes the worst consequences of a broken Indian country justice system. That's a quote I'm reading directly from the report. On Wind River, there is no juvenile court. So I'm wondering if you could talk a bit about why specifically juvenile justice suffers more than even other aspects of justice and law enforcement.
Well, when you think of state systems, most states have juvenile justice programs because they recognize that children are still developing and they want to be able to rehabilitate those juveniles to become productive members of society. But with the current system right now, if a juvenile is committing serious crime, they go into a federal system. And federal systems don't normally see juvenile cases. As I mentioned, these kind of the system right now is inherently local. And so the federal government is, I think, very ill-equipped to deal with specific needs of juveniles and even more specifically with Native juveniles. Right now, if a young offender gets caught up in the federal system, they're often sent to a federal penitentiary that's far from the reservations. They don't have the opportunity to see their families. And then those CIS kids literally get lost in the system. We don't know where they end up. We don't know when they're coming back to reservations. But rather than try and retrofit this system, again, we think that more control should be back with tribes so that they can make better decisions that will hopefully rehabilitate their children so that they're able to be productive members of their reservation in their communities.
For tribes that have limited resources, how can they go about actually adding more local law enforcement that is based in the community?
Obviously, tribes that have resources are better able to do that than tribes that struggle to provide those financial resources. So we've tried to identify some ways that Congress can hopefully streamline funding processes for tribes. We do recommend the consolidation of some of the services that are currently divided between the Bureau of Indian Affairs versus other programs that are housed within the Department of Justice. We think tribes should receive more base-level funding and that the federal government should move away from grant-based funding. Repeatedly, we've heard from tribes with fewer financial resources that the grant-based funding model currently used tends to favor tribes that are able to hire experienced grant writers. Base-level funding would allow tribes to at least plan better what kind of services they're able to provide instead of having to wonder whether or not certain grants will be renewed and have certain programs disappear because grant funding is no longer available.
There's the goal of eliminating the public safety gap in Indian Country by 2024, so about 10 years. How feasible is that, do you think?
I'm optimistic that our report will be considered, that it will open up some dialogue, and even if all of our recommendations aren't adopted, hopefully some new ideas maybe that we haven't discussed will emerge just by people willing to be engaged and have those conversations about what we can do to make Indian Country more safe and more just.
Well, Afi Ellis, thank you so much for taking some time to talk.
You bet.